Chapter 16. A governor. .200 a president. .150 college majors at £50 per annum each. .2500 proficients at 10. .2000 commons for 500 students during times of exercises at £5 per annum each. .2500 proficients subsistence, reckoning as above. .4000 third college. The gentlemen here are maintained as gentlemen, and are to have good tables, who shall therefore have an allowance at the rate of £25 per head, all officers to be maintained out of it, which is .25100 teachers, salary and subsistence ditto. .4550 college majors at £10 per annum is .500 annual charge $86,300 the building to cost. .50,000 furniture, beds, tables, chairs, linen, and .10,000 books, instruments, and utensils for experiments. .2000 so the immediate charge would be $62,000, the annual charge. .86,300 to which add the charges of exercises and experiments $3700 = $90,000, the king's magazines, to furnish them with 500 barrels of gunpowder per annum for the public uses of exercises and experiments. In the first of these colleges should remain the governing part, and all the preferments, to be made from thence, to be supplied in course from the other, the general of the first, to give orders to the other, and be subject only to the founder. The government should be all military, with a constitution for the same regulated for that purpose, and a council to hear and determine the differences and trespasses by the college laws. The public exercises likewise military, and all the schools be disciplined under proper officers, who are so in turn, or by order of the general, and continue but for the day. The several classes to perform several studies, and but one study to a distinct class, and the persons, as they remove from one study to another, to change their classes, but so as that in the general exercises all the scholars may be qualified to act all the several parts as they may be ordered. The proper studies of this college should be the following: geometry, bombarding, astronomy, gunnery, history, fortification, navigation, encamping, decimal arithmetic, entrenching, trigonometry, approaching, dialing, attacking, gauging, delineation, mining, architecture, fireworking, surveying, and all arts or sciences appendices to such as these, with exercises for the body, to which all should be obliged, as their genius and capacities led them, as 1. Swimming, which no soldier, and, indeed, no man whatever, ought to be without. 2. Handling all sorts of firearms. 3. Marching and counter-marching in form. 4. Fencing and the long staff. 5. Riding and managing, or horsemanship. 6. Running, leaping, and wrestling. And herewith should also be preserved, and carefully taught all the customs, usages, terms of war, and terms of art used in sieges, marches of armies and encampments, that so a gentleman taught in this college should be no novice, when he comes into the king's armies, though he has seen no service abroad. I remember the story of an English gentleman, an officer at the siege of Limerick, in Ireland, who, though he was brave enough upon action, yet for the only matter of being ignorant in the terms of art, and knowing not how to talk camp language, was exposed to be laughed at by the whole army for mistaking the opening of the trenches, which he thought had been a mine against the town. The experiments of these colleges would be as well worth publishing as the acts of the Royal Society, to which purpose the house must be built, where they may have ground to cast bombs, to raise regular works, as batteries, bastions, half-moons, redoubts, horn works, forts, and the like, with the convenience of water, to draw round such works, to exercise the engineers in all the necessary experiments of draining and mining under ditches. There must be room to fire great shot at a distance, to cannonade a camp, to throw all sorts of fireworks and machines that are, or shall be, invented, to open trenches, form camps, and see their public exercises will be also very diverting, and more worth, while for any gentleman, to see than the sights or shows which our people in England are so fond of. I believe as a constitution might be formed from these generals, this would be the greatest, the gallantest and the most useful foundation in the world. The English gentry would be the best qualified, and consequently best accepted abroad, and most useful at home of any people in the world, and His Majesty should never more be exposed to the necessity of employing foreigners in the posts of trust and service in his armies. And that the whole kingdom might in some degree be better qualified for service, I think the following project would be very useful. When our military weapon was the long bow, at which our English nation in some measure excelled the whole world, the meanest countryman was a good archer, and that which qualified them so much for service in the war was their diversion in times of peace, which also had this good effect that, when an army was to be raised they needed no disciplining. And for the encouragement of the people to an exercise so publicly profitable, an act of Parliament was made to oblige every parish to maintain butts for the youth in the country to shoot at. Since our way of fighting is now altered, and this destructive engine the musket is the proper arms for the soldier, I could wish the diversion also of the English would change to, that our pleasures and profit might correspond. It is a great hindrance to this nation, especially where standing armies are a grievance, that if ever a war commence, men must have at least a year, before they are thought fit to face an enemy, to instruct them how to handle their arms, and new raised men are called raw soldiers. To help this at least, in some measure I would propose, that the public exercises of our youth, should by some public encouragement for penalties won't do it, be drawn off from the foolish boyish sports of cocking and cricketing, and from tippling, to shooting with a firelock, an exercise as pleasant as it is manly, and generous, and swimming, which is a thing, so many ways profitable, besides its being a great preservative of health, that methinks no man ought to be without it. 1. For shooting, the colleges I have mentioned above, having provided for the instructing the gentry at the king's charge, that the gentry, in return of a favor, should introduce it among the country people, which might easily be done thus. If every country gentleman, according to his degree, would contribute to set up a prize, to be shot for by the town he lives in or the neighborhood, about once a year, or twice a year, or oftener, as they think fit, which prize not single only to him who shoots nearest, but according to the custom of shooting. This would certainly set all the young men in England a shooting, and make them marksmen, for they would be always practicing, and making matches among themselves too, and the advantage would be found in a war. For, no doubt, if all the soldiers in a battalion took a true level at their enemy there would be much more execution done at a distance than there is. Whereas it has been known how, that a battalion of men has received the fire of another battalion, and not lost above 30 or 40 men, and I suppose it will not easily be forgotten how, at the Battle of Aghrim, a battalion of the English army received the whole fire of an Irish regiment of dragoons, but never knew to this day, whether they had any bullets or no, and I need appeal no further than to any officer that served in the Irish War. What advantages the English armies made of the Irish, being such wonderful marksmen. Under this head of academies I might bring in a project for an academy for women. I have often thought of it as one of the most barbarous customs in the world, considering us as a civilized and a Christian country, that we deny the advantages of learning to women. We reproach the sex every day with folly and impertinence, while I am confident, had they the advantages of education equal to us, they would be guilty of less than ourselves. One would wonder indeed, how it should happen that women are conversable at all, since they are only beholding to natural parts for all their knowledge. Their youth is spent to teach them to stitch and sew, or make baubles. They are taught to read indeed, and perhaps to write their names, or so, and that is the height of a woman's education. And I would, but ask any who slight the sex for their understanding, what is a man?
A gentleman, I mean,
good for that is taught no more? I need not give instances, or examine the character of a gentleman with a good estate, and of a good family, and with tolerable parts, and examine what figure he makes for want of education. The soul is placed in the body like a rough diamond, and must be polished, or the luster of it will never appear. And it is manifest, that as the rational soul distinguishes us from brutes, so education carries on the distinction, and makes some less brutish than others. This is too evident to need any demonstration. But why, then, should women be denied the benefit of instruction? If knowledge and understanding had been useless additions to the sex, God Almighty would never have given them capacities, for He made nothing needless. Besides, I would ask such, what they can see in ignorance, that they should think it a necessary ornament to a woman. Or, how much worse is a wise woman than a fool, or, what has the woman done to forfeit the privilege of being taught? Does she plague us with her pride and impertinence? Why did we not let her learn, that she might have had more wit? Shall we upbraid women with folly, when it is only the error of this inhuman custom that hindered them being made wiser? The capacities of women are supposed to be greater, and their senses quicker than those of the men, and what they might be capable of being bred to is plain from some instances of female wit which this age is not without, which upbraids us with injustice, and looks as if we denied women the advantages of education for fear they should vie with the men in their improvements. To remove this objection, and that women might have at least a needful opportunity of education in all sorts of useful learning, I propose the draft of an academy for that purpose. I know it is dangerous to make public appearances of the sex. They are not either to be confined or exposed. The first will disagree with their inclinations, and the last with their reputations, and therefore it is somewhat difficult. And I doubt a method proposed by an ingenious lady, in a little book called, Advice to the Ladies, would be found impracticable. For, saving my respect to the sex, the levity which perhaps is a little peculiar to them, at least in their youth, will not bear the restraint, and I am satisfied nothing but the height of bigotry can keep up a nunnery. Women are extravagantly desirous of going to heaven, and will punish their pretty bodies to get thither, but nothing else will do it, and even in that case sometimes it falls out that nature will prevail. When I talk therefore of an academy for women, I mean both the model, the teaching, and the government different from what is proposed by that ingenious lady, for whose proposal I have a very great esteem, and also a great opinion of her wit. Different, too, from all sorts of religious confinement, and, above all, from vows of celibacy. Wherefore the academy I propose, should differ but little from public schools, wherein such ladies as were willing to study, should have all the advantages of learning suitable to their genius. But since some severities of discipline more than ordinary would be absolutely necessary to preserve the reputation of the house, that persons of quality and fortune might not be afraid to venture their children thither, I shall venture to make a small scheme by way of essay. The house I would have built in a form by itself, as well as in a place by itself. The building should be of three plain fronts, without any jettings or bearing work, that the eye might at a glance see from one coin to the other. The gardens walled in the same triangular figure, with a large moat, and but one entrance. When thus every part of the situation was contrived as well as might be for discovery, and to render intriguing dangerous, I would have no guards, no eyes, no spies set over the ladies, but shall expect them to be tried by the principles of honor and strict virtue. And if I am asked why, I must ask pardon of my own sex for giving this reason for it. I am so much in charity with women, and so well acquainted with men, that it is my opinion there needs no other care to prevent intriguing than to keep the men effectually away. For though inclination, which we prettily call love, does sometimes move a little too visibly in the sex, and frailty often follows, yet I think verily custom, which we miscall modesty, has so far the ascendant over the sex, that solicitation always goes before it. Custom with women, stead of virtue, rules, it leads the wisest, and commands the fools. For this alone, when inclinations reign, though virtues fled, will acts of vice restrain. Only by custom 'tis that virtue lives, and love requires to be asked before it gives. For that which we call modesty is pride. They scorn to ask, and hate to be denied. 'Tis custom thus prevails upon their want. They'll never beg what, asked, they easily grant. And when the needless ceremony's over, themselves the weakness of the sex discover. If, then, desires are strong, and nature free, keep from her men and opportunity. Else 'twill be vain to curb her by restraint. But keep the question off, you keep the saint. In short, let a woman have never such a coming principle, she will. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.